This video presentation reviews the historical events of the life of Imam Baqir alayhi salam and provides an overview of his social, scientific, and political achievements.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Imam Muhammad ibn Ali, also known as Baqir or Abu Ja'far, was born on the first of the month of Rajab in the year 57 Hijri in Medina. He was the oldest son of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. His mother was Fatima, the daughter of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. She was unique in piety among the children of Imam Hassan. Thus, Imam Baqir became the only Imam whose maternal and paternal grandfathers were Imams. All of the next Imams from his lineage are related to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, through both Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Baqir was about 3.5 years old on the day of Ashura. He was the only child of Imam Sajjad who was present in Karbala. He was among the captives who were sent to Kufa and from there to Damascus, to Yazid's palace. Imam Baqir, who had witnessed the tragedy of Karbala and all of the atrocities inflicted upon the Ahlul Bayt, the progeny of the Prophet, became a narrator of this tragedy. Imam used every opportunity to narrate the story of Karbala for the Muslims and reminded them about the oppression of the Umayyads against the Ahlul Bayt. The famous salutation, Ziyarat of Ashura, was originally narrated by him. Imam would gather people in his house to mourn and weep on this tragedy and oppression against Imam Hussein and would encourage the people to visit his holy tomb in Karbala. Jabir ibn Abdullah was a close companion of Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet had said to him that, "O Jabir, you will have a lengthy life and will meet someone from my progeny and from the children of Imam Hussein, whose name will be my name, Muhammad." The Prophet had said that he would be called Baqir, the one who splits open the doors of knowledge. The Prophet had asked Jabir to pass his greetings to him upon their meeting. After many years, Jabir met Imam Baqir in Medina while Imam was young. Imam's face reminded Jabir of the Prophet's face. Jabir passed the Prophet's greetings to Imam and said, "You are Baqir, the one who will split the doors of knowledge." Imam Muhammad Baqir was recognized as a wise and knowledgeable person in the society from his early childhood. Jabir's narration about the title of Baqir that was given to Imam by the Prophet was also a reason for the people to recognize Imam's knowledge. There are historical records to prove that Imam was responding to various questions raised by the Muslims while he was still young. Imam was raised under the supervision of his father, Imam Sajjad. The well-known book, Sahifa Sajjadiyya, was recorded when Imam Sajjad was narrating it to his sons, Imam Baqir and Zayd. When Imam Sajjad was poisoned, he called his children near him and chose his son Muhammad as his successor. Imam Sajjad gave Imam Baqir a heavy chest full of holy books and scriptures, as well as the swords of the Prophet and Imam Ali, which was passed down through the Imams. Imam Sajjad spoke to his son, Imam Baqir, in private for some time. Amongst his last words, he emphasized the importance of kindness to people. He also told Imam Baqir what his father, Imam Hussein, had passed down to him on the day of Ashura, which was to avoid oppressing someone who has nobody but God to defend him. When Imam Sajjad was in his deathbed, someone visited him and asked him about whom he should refer to after him. Imam told him to refer to his son Muhammad. That person inquired if Muhammad was chosen due to his age, and Imam Sajjad responded that imamat is not by age, but is appointed by God. Imam Sajjad said that I have found Imam Baqir's name as the successor of Imamat in the holy scripture that has been passed down to me from the Prophet. When Imam Sajjad was martyred, Imam Baqir took care of his funeral arrangements and buried him in the Baqi cemetery next to his uncle Imam Hassan alayhi salam. The fact that Imam Baqir took on this responsibility was also another sign of his imamat, since only an imam can perform the funeral rituals of another imam. Walid was a merciless, cruel governor who ordered the poisoning and martyrdom of Imam Sajjad. In his first sermon as caliph, he told the people that whoever stands against me would be beheaded, and whoever keeps silent, obeys my orders, would die a natural death. The majority of his government was spent in military campaigns and the expansion of his territory in Northern Africa, India, Central Asia, and Andalusia in Europe. The tragedy of Karbala had caused separation between the religious and political leadership among the Muslims. Thus, at this time, caliphate was just an authoritarian monarchy that was passed down in Banu Marwan's family, who were from the Umayyads. The Muslims' caliph had absolute power and did not hold himself accountable to anyone, even God. Yazid ibn Muawiyah's public indulgence in sinful behavior made it a custom for the upcoming Banu Marwan caliphs to openly indulge in those behaviors, which in turn legitimized them for the public. Furthermore, years of civil unrest, battles, cruel governors, and elimination of the Islamic scholars had taken away any motivation for religious practices. Religion was no longer a priority for the people. It became publicly common, even in the holy cities of Mecca and Medina, to have open concerts by women singers where many came to womanize. Imam was the only source of the true Islamic teachings in the society, and practically portrayed it by his behavior and interactions with the people. Imam used to pray 150 units of prayer on a daily basis. He was in constant remembrance of God and would recite La ilaha illallah even while walking or interacting with the people. Imam's tears in prayer and his long prostrations had been witnessed by the people in the masjids of Medina and next to the Kaaba during the Hajj seasons. Imam would continue to shed tears humbly despite his social status. Imam also used to encourage his children to stay awake between dawn and sunrise to recite Quran or other prayers. Whenever Imam wanted to pray for a great blessing from God, he would gather his family and would make his request to God and would ask his family to respond by Ameen. Once, a Christian called Imam Baqir Baqara, which in Arabic means a cow. He then continued by insulting Imam's mother. Imam treated him with patience and responded to him politely by saying that if your statement is right, may God forgive my mother, and if you are wrong, may God forgive you. Imam's treatment and greatness had such an impact on that person that he chose to convert to Islam. Imam was always interested in providing guidance for all of the Muslims. Sa'd was one of the Umayyads who came to Imam while crying and denouncing his family for their injustice to the Ahlul Bayt. Imam accepted him and said, "You are from us if you have the correct beliefs." Imam referred to the Prophet Ibrahim's statement in the Quran that everyone who follows me is from me. Imam then advised him to seek piety and provided him with guidance. Imam's statements are available in a collection known as the Risala Sa'd al-Khair. Imam's generosity was famous among the people, though Imam's lifestyle was ordinary. No single needy would return from Imam without a reward. Imam was an elderly among the family of the Prophet and was the oldest among the children of Imam Hussein. Thus, Imam had to financially support his relatives who were struggling with their living expenses, as they were deprived from their rights by the government. Furthermore, Imam had to financially support some of his students who had come to Medina to attend his classes and needed help. Imam had a special emphasis on charity donation on Fridays and has stated that it has double reward due to the importance of Friday among the other days of the week. After a year into the imamate of Imam Baghir, Walid passed away and his brother Sulaiman assumed power. Walid initially wanted to nominate his son as his successor but passed away before implementing his decision. Sulaiman inherited the power of an expanded Islamic territory from Andalusia in Europe and Northern Africa to Central Asia and India. Sulaiman was a corrupt pleasure seeker who had kept himself busy with womanizing and other sinful behavior. Him and his governors were very cruel to the people and pressured them by collecting high taxes. However, the short government of Sulaiman for about 3 years and his engagement in opposing Walid's governors who were initially against his nomination for government provided an opportunity for Imam to spread his knowledge with more freedom. The time of Imam Baghir coincided with the appearance of various theological beliefs among the Muslims, which is attributed to multiple factors. After a long period of civil unrest that was initiated after the tragedy of Karbala, the Banu Marwan's government became stable, and the Islamic scholars finally had a chance to get involved in education rather than political disputes. Various Islamic scholars and jurisprudents with different opinions about the Islamic laws emerged. Schools and educational facilities were established in the big cities, and the educated people were more accepting to the intellectual and theological thoughts as compared to before. Furthermore, due to military campaigns and the expansion of the Islamic territory, Muslims were exposed to various theological beliefs from the other civilizations, and had to find persuasive answers for the questions raised by the new Muslims or the followers of other faiths. However, there was turmoil among the Muslims about the true Islamic teachings of the Prophet due to a gap of about a century from the Prophet's demise. In addition, all of the people who had witnessed the Prophet and could testify on his teachings had also passed away by this time. The ban on the Prophet's narrations, which was in effect shortly after his demise, also worsened the situation. Thus, the Muslims were split in the theological beliefs that were even contradictory to each other. Khawarij was one of these false theologies who believed that a person who has committed a major sin is an unbeliever and out of the religion. They regarded Imam Ali and some of the other caliphs as unbelievers and were in continuous dispute with the government. On the contrary, Murji'ah was a group who believed that one should not condemn the actions of any person alive or deceased and should leave all judgment to God for the hereafter. This indifference was clearly against the teachings of the Prophet and his command on enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. This theology was strongly supported by Banu Marwan's government, since their injustice and oppression was not held accountable. Jabriya was another theological belief at the time. They believed that everything occurs according to God's will, and people should accept this enforced reality and should not object to it. Thus, as consequence of this theology, no one was allowed to object to the government's actions. On the contrary, there was another group called Qadariya who had considered full freedom for the human actions. Imam strongly confronted these false theologies and demonstrated the reality for the Muslims. Many of Imam's debates with the leaders of these theological groups are narrated in history. Imam argued with the Khawarij leaders about their opinions and falsified their arguments that Imam Ali was an unbeliever since he had accepted negotiations with Muawiyah after the Battle of Siffin. Imam used logical arguments using the Holy Quran and the Prophet's tradition to falsify their arguments. The Imam also falsified the theology of Murji'ah in his debates by portraying characteristics of the true Islamic faith. Imam would argue with Jabriya and Qadariya that God's blessings are greater than the fact that he would force mankind to commit sins and then punish them for what they did. On the other hand, God is stronger than making an intention and not being able to fulfill it. Imam expressed his moderate opinion and said that the space between these two extreme opinions is far greater than the space between the heavens and the earth. Imam also confronted Ghulat, or the people who would exaggerate the status of the Ahlul Bayt and would regard them at the level of God. Imam publicly rejected and cursed their leaders for giving a wrong attribute to the Ahlul Bayt. The Imam also challenged the thoughts of the Israelites that had entered and blended with the Islamic beliefs. These thoughts portrayed a distorted and corrupt image of the biblical and Quranic prophets. Imam's engagement in education and interaction with the people in the society didn't stop him from working hard to earn sustenance. He used to work in the farm along with his workers. He would not leave an overbearing task for his workers unless he would get involved himself. Once a leader of the religious ascetic saw Imam working in the farm in a very hot time of the day while he was sweating and exhausted. He said to Imam to stop working for the sake of this world, as death might overcome him. Imam responded that if my death comes at this time, it has met me at the best time, since I am obeying God and am working to suffice myself from you and others. Imam then said that I should rather be afraid if death meets me while I am disobeying God. Imam's response was an example of his practical efforts to show the true Islamic teachings to the people and guide those who had found the Islamic practice in isolation from this world. When Sulaiman was in his deathbed, he made a sudden decision to nominate his cousin Umar ibn Abdul Aziz to take his position instead of his brother Yazid, and appointed his brother as the successor of his cousin. Umar had a fair ruling strategy as compared to the other Umayyad governors. He had a special respect for the scholars and was interested in receiving their advice. His short government of around 2.5 years was a relief for the people who had suffered from the Umayyads. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz had respect for Imam and was interested in seeking his advice. Imam, in return, provided him with advice and guidance for the benefit of the Muslims. However, Imam never endorsed his government nor any other Umayyads. When Umar came to power, he sent an invitation for Imam to come and meet him. Imam accepted his invitation and went to Damascus. Umar provided Imam with hospitality and sought his advice. Imam recommended him to piety and advised him to consider the elderly Muslims as his own father, the middle-aged Muslims as his own brother, and the young Muslims as his own children. Imam then recommended him to have kindness and mercy to his children, have forgiveness to his brothers, and have good deeds towards his father. Imam also asked him to be persistent on doing good deeds. Umar, who was surprised with Imam's comprehensive advice, responded that you have given me instructions that if implemented with God's help, I would have eternal benefit. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, in his short government, performed a series of unprecedented actions that were beneficial to the people and the Ahlul Bayt. He confiscated unlawful wealth that was taken by the Umayyads and returned it to the Bayt al-Mal. When collecting taxes, he was lenient and showed kindness to both Muslims and non-Muslims. He had also asked his governor in Medina to distribute considerable funds among the children of Imam Ali and the Lady Fatima, as they had been stripped from their rights for a long period of time. He also returned the land of Fadak to Imam Baghir and stopped the cursing of Imam Ali from the pulpits. He also removed the ban from narrating the Prophet's traditions. Once, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz visited Medina and Imam Baghir went to meet him. In their conversations, Imam advised him about the short duration of this world and the importance of preparation for the hereafter. Imam told him that this world is like one of the markets, where some leave it with deeds that would benefit them, while others leave it with deeds that harm them. Imam then advised him to look after deeds that would please God in the hereafter, and to stop deeds that would displease him. Imam also advised him to help the oppressed people and return their rights. Umar, who was completely influenced by Imam's words, wrote a letter and returned the land of Fadak to Imam. Fadak was a precious land that had fruitful gardens with palm trees, which was gifted to Lady Fatima by her father, the Holy Prophet. Fadak was confiscated by the first caliph after the Prophet's demise and had never been returned to the children of Lady Fatima ever since. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz also stopped the cursing of Imam Ali from the pulpits in all around the Islamic territory. This terrible tradition was set up by Muawiyah due to his hostility to Imam Ali and the Ahlul Bayt upon seizing the caliphate after the peace treaty with Imam Hassan. This unfortunate custom continued by the Umayyads after Muawiyah until the time of Umar for about 60 years. It is said that either Umar's father or his childhood teacher was his guidance in realizing the elevated level of Imam Ali. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz also removed the ban of narrating the traditions of the Prophet. This ban was placed by the first caliph shortly after the Prophet's demise, with the justification that this would divide the Muslims, and had said that Quran is sufficient. This ban was strictly continued by the second and the third caliph and the Umayyad rulers until the time of Umar. Umar, who feared the loss of the Prophet's traditions, with the passing of time ordered for the collection of the narrations. As a result of the narrations ban for around 90 years after the Prophet's demise, Muslims didn't know much about the true Islam that was practiced by the Prophet. Over this long period, many forged narrations were propagated among the Muslims by the rulers for their own political interests. Thus, authentic narrations from the Prophet were mixed with the forged narrations, and it was very hard even for the Islamic scholars to distinguish between them. For example, in the years later, Bukhari collected 600,000 narrations and only authenticated around 7,000 of them, which were published in his Sahih al-Bukhari book. Similarly, Abi Dawood selected around 5,000 narrations that he felt were authentic in his Sunan book, among a total of 500,000 collected narrations. Both books are regarded as core narration books among the Sunni schools of thought. In this situation, Imam's divine knowledge was recognized by everyone. Imam had the most freedom for his scientific activities and spreading of his knowledge during Umar's government. He used this opportunity to establish himself as the main source for the true Islamic teachings in the society. His life was full of puzzling questions raised by the people to test his knowledge. His answers to these questions proved his knowledge for the people. He also availed every opportunity to debate with various so-called Islamic scholars who were falsely interpreting the Quran or propagating forged narrations. Imam would use Quranic evidence and intellectual justifications to overcome them. Imam was the most authentic narrator of the traditions of the Prophet and the best interpreter of the Holy Quran. Imam used to narrate the authentic narrations from the Prophet and his forefathers. He had mentioned his forefathers as the chain of reference for his narrations from the Prophet. The number of narrations cited from Imam Baqir is in the thousands and is the highest among the 12 Imams after his son Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He also presented the correct interpretation of the Holy Quran for the Muslims who used to have different opinions about its interpretation. He used to encourage the Muslims to ask for a reference to Quran for every part of his speeches. There is a commentary of the Holy Quran known as Abu Jarud, which is attributed to Imam. Despite Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's fair character and his valued actions, Imam did not endorse him or any other Umayyads. Imam viewed them as the occupiers of the position that belonged to him as the true successor of the Holy Prophet. On the night when Umar passed away in Syria, Imam, while in Medina and far from him, said that someone has passed away tonight whom the residents of the earth cry for, yet the angels in heaven curse. It is said that Umayyads who were against Umar's ruling strategy poisoned and eliminated him. After Umar, Yazid ibn Abdul Malik or Yazid II assumed power and ruled for 4 years. He initially continued Umar ibn Abdul Aziz's ruling strategies for a short period. However, the Umayyads convinced him to change his ruling approach. They brought him 40 witnesses from the elders whom testified that there will be no trial for the caliphs in the hereafter. Thus, Yazid reverted the ruling strategy of Umar and followed the footsteps of the other Umayyads. He pressured the people by forcefully collecting high taxes, a practice that was in place prior to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Yazid ibn Abdul Malik, similar to Yazid ibn Muawiyah, drank alcohol, womanized, and indulged in other sinful behavior. He also had a wine pool to swim in while womanizing. He had two slave lovemates that had overpowered his mind and their love. One day, he was spending the time with one of his lovemates, and she coincidentally died by choking. Yazid didn't leave her body for 3 days, and the grief he felt from her passing led to his death in a few days. Imam continued his father Imam Sajjad's efforts to interpret the true Islamic teachings. Imam was known as Baghir, which means the splitter of knowledge. He was given this title by the Prophet. The Prophet knew that he would reveal and expand the secrets of the Islamic sciences and had great respect for him. Today, Imam is also known as the founder of Fiqh, or Islamic jurisprudence in the Shia school of thought. Fiqh is the knowledge about the Islamic laws according to the Quran and the teachings and practices of the Prophet. Imam not only responded to the thousands of fiqh questions raised by Muslims during his life, but also established the principles that are used in fiqh to derive the Islamic laws known as the Usul al-Fiqh. These principles are used until today by the scholars to derive the Islamic laws for the newly emerged questions. Furthermore, there are many narrations available from Imam on other Islamic sciences, such as interpretation of the Quran, traditions of the Prophet, ethics, history, judicial, medicine, and ilm al-kalam, which is about defending the principles of the Islamic faith against doubters. Imam established an Islamic university to benefit hundreds of students who were interested in learning Islamic studies. The name of more than 460 of Imam's students are recorded in history. It is said that no one would visit Medina without attending Imam's lectures to benefit from his knowledge. Many of the Islamic scholars would sit by Imam humbly to learn from his knowledge, similar to a child sitting in the presence of an honorable teacher. Many of the people who had benefited from Imam's knowledge were non-Shias, such as Abu Hanifa, the founder of the Hanafi school of thought. Many students came from all over the Islamic territory to Medina to benefit from Imam's knowledge, especially from Kufa in Iraq and Khurasan in Iran. The students then traveled all over the Islamic territory and played a key role in propagating the Islamic teachings and familiarizing the Muslims with the Imam. As a result, Khurasan provided the grounds for the followers of the Ahlul Bayt after Kufa. It became the center for the emergence of the Abbasids and the extinction of the Umayyads in the upcoming years. Imam Baghir also had a few notable companions who greatly contributed in recording and spreading Imam's knowledge. Muhammad ibn Muslim is one of them. He recorded 30,000 narrations from Imam and was known as one of the most knowledgeable scholars among the Shias. Zurara was another notable companion, and more than 1,200 narrations from Imam Baghir are narrated by him in the fiqh books. Aban ibn Taghlib was another scholar and Imam had asked him to sit in Masjid of the Prophet in Medina and answer the people's questions regarding the Islamic laws. With this appointment, Imam began to connect people to himself through his representatives. This strategy was later developed by the next Imams to a much greater extent and became an effective method to propagate Shi'ism. Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi is another scholar who had recorded 70,000 secret narrations from Imam Baghir. He was instructed by Imam to hide these narrations from the people. When he complained to Imam that the knowledge in his chest burdened him, Imam recommended him to go to a desert, dig a hole, and talk to the hole about his narrations. After Yazid, his brother Hisham assumed power. He ruled for around 20 years and was the last powerful ruler of the Umayyads before their extinction. He was very precise and would personally supervise work-related affairs. However, he was very stingy, jealous, cruel, and heartless. He was the one who began hating Imam Sajjad ever since he saw the people respecting the Imam around the Kaaba during the Hajj season, while they were completely indifferent to him. His hatred and conspiracy encouraged his brother Walid to order for the poisoning and martyrdom of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Imam Baghir used Hajj as an opportunity to introduce himself to the Muslims as the true source of the Islamic teachings. During the Hajj season, Imam was surrounded by the crowds of pilgrims from all over the Islamic territory who were interested in finding convincing answers to their questions. Once, the Imam was seen sitting by the Kaaba, and he did not leave his position until he responded to 1,000 of their Islamic fiqh questions. One year, Hisham went to Mecca for Hajj and saw Muslims gather around Imam Baghir in large crowds to ask him their questions. Hisham was also informed by his brother that Imam Baghir's son, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, has delivered a powerful speech for the pilgrims about the honor and divine status of the Ahlul Bayt. Thus, Hisham decided to humiliate Imam Baghir. He sent one of the scholars of the time to ask Imam some difficult questions. However, Imam was able to respond to all of the questions. The scholar returned to Hisham, admitting Imam's knowledge. Hisham was very angry with the outcome, but decided not to confront the Imam during Hajj. However, right after Hajj, he summoned Imam and his son Imam Sadiq to his palace in Damascus to intimidate them. When Imam arrived in Damascus, Hisham did not allow him to enter his palace for 3 days. On the fourth day, he accepted Imam into his palace, where he had arranged for an archery exercise to humiliate Imam. Hisham had assumed that Imam was only a scholar and would not have any military skill. He insisted that the Imam participate in the archery, but the Imam was hesitant. Finally, Imam accepted his challenge and threw an arrow which landed exactly on the target. Imam then continued his archery and threw a total of 9 arrows, where each arrow landed on the tail of the previously landed arrow on the target. Hisham, who was shocked by Imam's skill, confessed that Imam was the best archer he had ever witnessed. Hisham later met Imam and angrily asked him, "How is it that you are chosen by God for his knowledge while we are all from the same Arab origin?" Imam responded that Prophet only chose Imam Ali for sharing his secrets by referring to this verse of the Quran.
لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به.
Move not thy tongue in haste, repeating the words of the revelation. And God revealed this verse for describing Imam Ali's status. So that retaining ears may retain it. Imam said, "The Prophet taught 1,000 doors of knowledge to Imam Ali, and each door had 1,000 doors within it." Imam said that this knowledge is passed down solely to us from Imam Ali. Hisham asked, "How did Ali know the knowledge of the unknown while God has kept it solely for himself?" Imam responded that God has revealed a book to his prophet that contains the knowledge of the past and everything that will happen until the day of judgment by referring to these verses of the Quran.
وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ
We have revealed to you the book as an explanation of all things, and guidance and mercy and good news for those who submit.
وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ
And we have tallied all things in a clear record, and
مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ
We neglected nothing in the scripture. Hisham was unable to respond to Imam's Quranic justifications and eventually allowed Imam to return to Medina. When Imam left Hisham's palace, he saw a crowd of Christians who were waiting to meet their most knowledgeable leader. Their leader would appear once a year to answer their questions. Imam went among them as well. When the Christian leader saw Imam and realized that he is a Muslim, he decided to humiliate Imam by asking him a challenging question. He asked Imam how he could prove that the people in heaven eat and drink without any need to discharge. Imam said that the proof is a baby who is in a mother's womb and eats without any discharge. The Christian leader realized Imam is a knowledgeable Muslim and asked him another question. He asked, "How would you prove that the fruits in heaven don't decrease upon use?" Imam replied that the proof is similar to a candle flame that can light hundreds of other candles, yet its own light does not decrease. The leader was shocked and asked Imam another question. He asked, "When is the time which is neither a part of the day nor the night?" Imam said that this is the time between dawn and sunrise. The leader then raised his voice and swore that Imam would not be able to respond to his last question. He said, "Who are the two who were born together and died together at the same day while one lived for 50 years and the other for 150? Imam said that they are the Prophet Ezra and his twin brother. Ezra passed by a ruined town and asked God how he could bring them back to life after their death. God took his life for 100 years to show him his powers. He died with his brother at the same time while he had lived for 100 years less than his brother. The Christian leader felt humiliated and left the crowd, promising not to appear in front of them ever again. The news of Imam's debate with the Christian leader spread quickly in Damascus. Hisham feared people coming around Imam in the heart of his government and sent a message to Imam, asking him to leave the city immediately. Hisham sent a messenger to Madian, a city between Damascus and Medina, which was historically the city of Prophet Shu'aib or Jethro. Hisham introduced Imam Baqir and his son Imam Sadiq as unbelievers who had converted to Christianity and warned the people to avoid any greeting or trade with them. Hisham's goal was to perish Imam by hunger in the long desert travel between Damascus and Medina. When Imam arrived at Madian, the people didn't open the city doors to Imam and used abusive words against him. Imam talked to them, but they didn't listen to him. Imam Baqir then went to a mountain overlooking the city and recited the verses in the Quran that describe the story of Prophet Shu'aib. Imam continued his recitation until the verse,
بَقِيَّةُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٌ
What is left by God is best for you if you are believers, and I am not a guardian over you. Imam then said, I swear by God, we are who God has left for you. A strong wind blew and took Imam's words to the city for everyone to hear. An old man screamed that Imam is standing on a place that Prophet Shu'aib would stand to invite the people of Madian, and he warned the people to allow Imam in the city before God's punishment arrives. The people became frightened and opened the doors of the city to trade with Imam. Imam then safely returned to Medina after having confronted Hisham and defeating all of his conspiracies. Hisham felt hatred towards Imam Baqir and his Shia followers. Imam was under the most pressure during Hisham's government. Hisham asked his governors to increase the pressure on the Shias and deprive them of their rights. He also put ban on the people of Iraq as the largest Shia community to meet Imam freely in Medina. He ordered his governor in Kufa to kill Kumayt, a poet who had recited poetry to praise the status of Imam Baqir and the Ahlul Bayt. Kumayt escaped from Kufa to save his life, but had to eventually recite poetry to praise Hisham and his son to seek Hisham's forgiveness. Hisham had also ordered the killing of Jabir ibn Yazid al-Ju'fi, one of the Imam's notable companions. However, by Imam's secret message to Jabir, he pretended to be insane and thus saved his life. Imam had advised his followers to distance themselves from the Umayyads and not to accept any government position. Imam Baqir did not endorse any request from his followers for an uprising against the injustices of the Umayyads. Once, a Kufi man told Imam that he has many loyal Shia followers in Kufa. Imam replied by doubting their sincerity to him. He said that if 313 loyal companions gather around an Imam, equaling the number of the Prophet's companions in the Battle of Badr, it is obligatory upon an Imam to rise up against the injustices of the government. In one incident, Imam's brother Zayd wanted to initiate an uprising against the Umayyads. Imam convinced him to change his mind by reminding him of the disloyal nature of the Kufis. However, around 7 years after the martyrdom of Imam Baqir, Zayd initiated his uprising against Hisham. Although Kufis had paid allegiance to support Zayd in secrecy, when Zayd initiated his uprising, only a fraction of them stayed loyal to him. Zayd fought bravely with his loyal army and was eventually martyred. This historical event supports Imam Baqir's wise decision to keep himself away from an uprising to save himself as the only source of guidance in that society during his time. Abbasids, who were the children of the Prophet's uncle Abbas, had started their hidden political activities against the Umayyads. They increased their hidden activities during the government of Hisham by sending delegates to Khorasan to take allegiance from the people on behalf of the government for the Prophet's family. This shows the public interest and respect to the Ahlul Bayt in the Islamic territory, including Khorasan. However, in the later years, the Abbasids took advantage of the people's love for the Ahlul Bayt in order to replace the Umayyads with themselves. Although Imam Baqir was pursuing a peaceful confrontation with the government, Hisham had hatred towards Imam and feared his social popularity as the most knowledgeable person in the society. Furthermore, the events that occurred during Imam's visit to Damascus were also influential in Hisham's decision to martyr the Imam. These events included Imam's archery skills, his debate with Hisham leading to Hisham's humiliation, and his debate with the Christian leader which spread Imam's name among the Syrians. Thus, Ibrahim ibn Walid, Hisham's nephew and the governor of Medina, poisoned Imam by Hisham's orders. There is historical evidence suggesting that Imam might have been poisoned multiple times by the Umayyad rulers, but God had saved him. As a result of the poisoning, Imam became very sick. He informed everyone that he would not make it to the following day. When Imam was in his deathbed, he made a will to his son Imam Sadiq to spend a part of his wealth to hold a mourning service in Mina during Hajj season for 10 years to remind people about the oppression against him from the government. Imam Baqir also asked Imam Sadiq to bring some of the elders of Medina as witnesses for his will. In his will, he asked Imam Sadiq to take care of his burial and requested him to follow specific guidance for his shroud and tomb. Later, Imam Sadiq asked his father about the reason for having witnesses for such simple requests. Imam Baqir replied that he wanted people to realize that Imam Sadiq is his rightful successor and the next Imam to avoid any doubt after him. Imam Baqir's soul ascended and he passed away on the 7th of Dhul Hijjah in the year of 114th Hijri at the age of 57. Imam Sadiq took care of his father's funeral and was followed by crowds of grieving Muslims. Imam Baqir was buried at the cemetery of Baqi, next to the graves of his father Imam Sajjad and his great uncle Imam Hassan. The imamate of Imam Baqir was at the beginning of the second Islamic century. After the long political unrest that occurred after the tragedy of Karbala, the power was finally stable in Banu Marwan's family, who were from the Umayyads. At this time, the Islamic society was under the influence of various false theological beliefs, and each one had its own set of followers. Furthermore, Islamic scholars had different opinions on the Islamic laws and beliefs due to their different interpretations of the Quran and the Prophet's teachings. This was also impacted by the ban on narrations from the Prophet that was in place right after his demise, which discontinued the true teachings of the Prophet for the new generations of the Muslims. Imam Baqir, in almost 20 years of his imamate, split the doors of Islamic knowledge and the sciences from their divine source for the Muslims who were eager to learn it. Imam provided the Muslims with authentic narrations from his forefathers and the Holy Prophet. He familiarized them with the correct interpretation of the Holy Quran and challenged the false beliefs that had spread through the Islamic territory. Imam used every opportunity to connect the Muslims with the true Islamic teachings and revitalize them in the society. Imam had a better situation in the first half of his imamate to spread his knowledge due to the short-lived rulings of governors who didn't find time to confront the Imam. However, during the second half of his imamate, when Hisham established his government, he put pressure on the Imam and his activities. The time of Imam Baqir was different as compared to the time of Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad didn't even have 20 followers in the entire cities of Mecca and Medina. However, Imam Baqir was surrounded by crowds of people who were interested to know more about the true Islam. Imam Baqir created an Islamic university in Medina where many students from all over the Islamic territory attended. The students later traveled through the Islamic territory and introduced the people to the teachings of the Imam. This led to the public awareness about the Ahlul Bayt, which was one of the main reasons for the extinction of the Umayyads in the upcoming years. At the time of Imam Baqir, the people recognized the unlimited divine knowledge of an Imam, and from then on the Imams became the source for the solution to people's questions. At this time, Imam's Shia followers learned the Islamic laws regarding various aspects of their practices and taught them to the other Muslims, whereas they had to refer to the other Muslims previously. Imam Baqir provided an excellent environment for his son, Imam Sadiq, to continue and expand his scientific work to a much greater extent by training thousands of students. As a result, Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq have the largest number of narrations among all the 12 Imams, which are in the thousands and are preserved for us until today. Therefore, the Shia school of thought would not have the scientific and cultural backbone without the efforts of these two Imams.